My name is Le Li He Slip, but here in Vietnamese they call me Phung Thi Le Li. I am the author of two books, It's Gwen, Heaven and Earth, Yang Blesses, and Child of War, Woman of Peace. Both books adapted into a motion picture called Heaven and Earth by Oliver Stone. We're here to recap what had happened here from my childhood. I live in a war zone, but then I'm married to American. I moved to the U.S. and I live over there. Then I bring American back to help rebuild Vietnam. It's how war can teach peace.
For my first 12 years of life, I was a peasant girl in Ghi Lao, a small village near Da Nang in central Vietnam. My father taught me to love God, my family, our traditions, and our ancestors. From my mother, I learned it was no disgrace to work like an animal on our farm. For the next 3 years of my life, I loved, labored, and fought for the Viet Cong against American and South Vietnamese soldiers. First, we were taught that Vietnam was a sovereign nation, held in thrall to Western imperialists for over a century. Second, that the division of Vietnam into North and South in 1954 was nothing more than a ploy by the defeated French and their allies to preserve what influence they could in the country. And so the war began and became an insatiable dragon that roared around Ghi Lao. By the time I turned 13, that dragon had swallowed me up.
My sister, hi. This is grandson.
Hello.
This is my family home in village of Ghi Lao, Da Nang City. Summertime is over 100 degrees hot weather-wise. When it winters, it rains for days, if not months. So life here is very harsh. When we growing up, this the wall here, the duck and the chicken and the pig live underneath. So when the South Vietnamese army come through here looking for me or looking for the Viet Cong or whoever, I just go and stay there with the duck, with the chicken, and with the pig. And we have a little room here. I sleep here sometimes with my brother Sao. He sleep here, or most of the time with my mom. And only 3-4 sisters, we sleep on a bamboo bed. So this is our home. It's not like this. It's not modern like this. It's a little shack, poor straw roof, dust floor. But always that image is a childhood, you know, it's just beautiful and you live under 1,000 stars at night and no electricity. So you use the moon and star. That is the beautiful image. It's for children. If it's no war, it will be a very peaceful village.
The years with my sisters and brother Sao Ban were among the best of my life. Ghi Lao then, between the French and American wars, was a childhood paradise, full of tropical birds and buffaloes, dogs and chickens and pigs we called our pets, rushing rivers to swim in, and wide fields where we could run and laugh and be with our families. We had fresh rain to cool us down and hot sun to dry us off. In short, everything little kids need to grow up happy and strong and full of love.
My memory of childhood growing in a village right here is the bamboo swinging and banana leaf when it rains. You know, the water drop and banana go dot, dot, dot. And, you know, just like in America, you would count the sheep to put you to sleep. But in the village, you count the water dropping. And then when a beautiful summer night, you put a mat on the hot floor outside in the sand. We call it a million star hotel. Oh, it's just beautiful.
It was a hot afternoon, and I was tending our water buffalo in the fields and daydreaming when the motor noise began. Like a tiger growling in a cave, the hollow noise became a roar, and I looked to the sun to see two helicopters, whining and flapping like furious birds, settle out of the sky towards me. The wind whipped my clothes and snatched the sun hat from my head. To my surprise, I did not die. Out of the dull green door stepped a giant. His black boots shone as bright as a beetle's shell. I watched his brawny, blonde-haired hands raise binoculars to his eyes. He scanned a tree line around Gila, ignoring me completely, climbed back inside the machine, and was gone. Because they had blue eyes and always wore sunglasses, we children thought the Americans were blind. We called them mudmail, cat eyes, and long nose to their backs. Their arrival in ever-increasing numbers meant a period of great danger was about to begin.
I'm Chuck Searcy. I'm Vice President of Veterans for Peace, the Vietnam chapter, 160. And I'm also International Advisor for Project Renew, which is a humanitarian program in Quang Tri Province cleaning up bombs and mines. During the war, Da Nang was one of the busiest military staging areas in South Vietnam. And there was a lot of fighting in the Da Nang area. And people who lived in that area, like Le Li, were torn on a daily basis between what to do to survive in the face of pressure from the South Vietnamese troops, the South Vietnamese government, the Americans, pressure from the Viet Cong and the North Vietnamese units that might have been operating in the area. And a lot of times for their survival, they literally had to change places on a daily basis. One day to show their loyalty to one side and the next day to show their loyalty to another side. And Le Li is a survivor, thankfully, for all of us, because she's a wonderful person and I'm so glad she's still around. But she survived those experiences by being tough and being smart.
This time we lived with the South Vietnamese and American advisor. And then nighttime, then we have somebody we call Uncle of Liberation, and they liberate our country from the invaders. So that is who we are, freedom fighter for our motherland. And so a lot of activity at night for the Viet Cong. But then we did the same for the other side. When the South Vietnamese come to our house, we shine the shoes if they ask us to. So we live on the both sides. But, you know, sometimes the both sides use the children for their benefit. And that is very sad. We're innocent. We're carefree. You know, it just turned our village upside down.
During the American War, as soon as the sun had set and the Republicans had gone, the Viet Cong came back and called everyone from their homes. The children were organized into committees to watch for informers, run messages, and prepare booby traps or decoys for the Viet Cong. For spying on our neighbors and stealing from the Republicans, handmade medals were pinned to our chests. If we were caught, we were expected to commit suicide. Only by dying in battle or by your own little hands would we be immortalized as heroes.
And then I got caught. The first time it took me to a local jail. And a little torture, a little question because they know we're young. And the second time, and then the third time, it take me to more like a POW where they hold the real Viet Cong. And so when they take the young girl like myself to a torture camp or to prison, it happened every day. It's nothing new. So we take it.
Age 15, after 3 days in the dreaded Mi Thi torture camp, I was released. My mother had used my dowry to bribe an official, and we returned to our village. But no one got out of Mi Thi in only 3 days, and the Viet Cong were convinced I had betrayed them. I was taken to a people's court and sentenced to death, then hustled to the swamp at the edge of the village. There I saw a hole, a grave, with two shovels stuck into the loamy soil. I closed my eyes, took in a deep, quivering lungful of air, and the guard's heavy sandal kicked me over onto my side. Although the air was cool, the sand on my cheek still held the warmth of the day. I lay there, relishing the sound of the wind and the croaking frogs, and somewhere far away, a barking dog and a wailing baby. I did not die that day. I was raped. But the force of this man's twisted soul had killed me just as surely. Both sides in this terrible, endless, stupid war had finally found the perfect enemy, a terrified peasant girl who would endlessly and stupidly consent to be their victim, as all Vietnam's peasants had consented to be victims from creation to the end of time.
Every day somebody come in with a dead body of their son or daughter. The Viet Cong shoot at the American man, and so they run, they fight back, and they call helicopter, and everything run into hell on earth. Such a beautiful village, and it turned into a horrible, horrible image.
When the Viet Cong decided to mass for a major attack on Ghi La, where the Republicans had built an outpost, I was too terrified even to pray. Out of the shadows, mortar rounds screamed in, and Viet Cong fire teams raked the street with bullets. Flares covered the fields with an eerie blue light, while gun muzzles flashed like fireflies in the darkness. For the next few days, the Americans and Republicans poured troops and fire into the jungle around Ghi La, a raging elephant stomping on red ants. In the end, so little was left of my village that even the Viet Cong lost interest in Ghi La as a prize of war. Instead, they turned their attention to gaining a grip of terror on the survivors. They began by killing the villagers they suspected of spying for the enemy, then killed more and more for smaller and smaller crimes. If the Republicans were like elephants trampling our village, the Viet Cong were like snakes who came at us at night.
I'm Oliver Stone. I'm the director of Heaven and Earth, written by myself and Lely Hazlett.
You see this land, Vietnam, is going to be yours now. If the enemy comes back, you must be both a daughter and a son now.
Oh, I loved Heaven and Earth. It's one of those films that I put my heart and soul in. It's beautiful to look at. It's a beautiful story, and unfortunately it died at the box office in the United States. No one was interested in the Vietnamese point of view. This was a time in America when basically we were still making missing in action films, Americans going back to Vietnam to look for lost comrades in arms. This point of view upset me because 3.5 million Vietnamese were killed during that war, whereas we're talking about 1,000-plus American missing in action soldiers. So it was a loss of perspective that certainly disturbed me. I wanted to tell Lely's story because after making two movies about Americans in Vietnam, Born on the 4th of July and Platoon was a story based on my own experiences in the platoon in Vietnam. I wanted to go back and tell more of a Vietnamese story from the point of view of a woman who had been on both sides of the conflict and who ended up in America with another life.
In May 1970, I stepped from the Pan Am airliner that had taken me from the hell my country had become to the heaven I hoped America would be. I was 20 years old with two sons. I didn't speak much English, and my new home, a suburb of San Diego, was stranger to a Vietnamese farm girl than the dark side of the moon. My background was not like that of my new American neighbors. By the age of 12, I had lost two brothers and countless uncles, aunts, and cousins to the war. By the age of 15, I had been in battle, captured and tortured by the South Vietnamese Republicans, and condemned to death and raped by the Viet Cong. By 16, I was an unwed mother supporting my family on Da Nang's black market. By the time I was 19, my father had committed suicide to protect me from the Viet Cong, and I had married a middle-aged American in the desperate hope he would save me and my children from the war. A stranger in a strange new place. I was alone among the cat-eyed Westerners I had been taught since birth to fear and hate.
Intense fighting both on the ground, inside the buffer zone, and in the air sends Vietnam casualty figures to a new high.
Another way of discouraging the North Vietnamese tunnel builders is airstrikes with napalm and high explosives.
So they set charges and blow the bunkers to pieces.
When I first went to America in 1970, and my husband's family watched the news on Vietnam War, and they see the village burning in ashes, and women and children running every which way and crying, and I mean, a terrible view. And they say, oh, what a shame that you people want to, you know, war and kill each other and this and that, right? And then when American men die and or wounded, and they put it on helicopter to take them off, and they just say, what a shame that you people killing our people, you know. And the way they see Vietnam is just like a monster, a killing zone. I want to tell the world what happened here in Vietnam. So only thing I can think of was writing a book. And let me tell you what we think of Vietnam and the war and why you there, not because, you know, we want to fight. You to be very quiet about Vietnam because it's too hurtful, it's too painful to talk about it. But little by little, people travel back, the veteran, to heal, especially after my books come out in 1989. And they say, oh, the Vietnam is a country. It's not a war zone. It's not a killing field. It's not a hamburger hill. It's not platoon. It's a heaven on earth.
We have spent many, many years wrapped in our own agony about what went wrong and how painful it was for us, without acknowledging that the pain was infinitely greater for the Vietnamese and the losses were tremendously greater. In 1975, when the war ended, Vietnam was a country that was left in utter devastation. The U.S. not only did not help, but we turned our backs on Vietnam and we imposed a strangling embargo that really caused them problems for the next couple of decades. I think her book has had a very positive impact in the U.S., and certainly it has changed the perspective of many. People have come to realize that Lay Lee has made a wonderful contribution to understanding, to bridge building, to respectful relations between Americans and Vietnamese from all sides, creating real forgiveness.
The first book was 20 years of my life, from 1950 to 1970. And that is, I grew up in a war zone. But the second book, I was living in America. My life is still chaotic, but at least I have peace of mind. And I am doing okay with myself, and I'm thinking of others, how to help others. So the title is correct, The Child of War and Woman of Peace. That means I volunteer a lot. I did a lot of charity work in America. I have a big house and had three children. My oldest son already left home for college. I'm doing okay for myself. But the more I get, the empty airfield. On the inside, I go backward on my spiritual belief. And I feel like it's something within me that put me to come back here to visit my mom. And in 1986, what I saw here is not what you see here today. What I saw then is that because the embargoes, because of the legacy of war left over, this country is just a nightmare. It's poor, it's poverty, it's everywhere. But it also opened me up a lot of the doors to help Vietnam. I made a vow, if the book is successful and make it into a movie, all that money come back to Vietnam.
Lely's a spiritual survivor, a warrior for peace. She's seen all kinds of horror. And as she was born Buddhist, she practiced it, believed in it when she was young, but life tested her to the utmost. At times, I'm sure she wanted to give up, but she kept going and used any way to survive at one point or another. And in the end, her faith, her spirituality even grew stronger and stronger. And what's beautiful is that she went back to Vietnam to help her family, and then she found that her mission in life was to go between Vietnam and the United States, to bring these two societies closer together between heaven and earth. And she's been working for peace ever since. In her foundation, East Meets West Foundation, she built hospitals and also the Mother Love Clinic in the small village where she grew up, that has given helped women give birth to some 9,000 babies since it was built in the 1990s.
When I was growing up, everybody worked in the most beautiful rice paddy that you can see on Heaven and Earth movie, right? Now it's a big highway, go right through in the rice paddy. Nobody can work in the paddy anymore because it belongs to the government. And they move people to own those new houses. They have no rice, no land to work, and nothing. And that has become a very, very unfortunate for most of family. And, you know, it gets so near to airport. They want to have convenience, I understand. But I'm sad because it's no more rice paddy, it's no more garden, nobody work in the land. It become a wasteland. Quê hương chị sống giữa gò các nỗi.
The Vietnam War will not be over until it ends for everyone. Over 400,000 U.S. veterans are still recovering from wounds inflicted on their bodies and their spirit. 63 million souls in Vietnam are still suffering from their victory. Infants born misshapen by Agent Orange, others are doomed to die of cancer and other illnesses related to wartime chemicals. Their circle of vengeance persists. And right now, around the world, there are millions of poor people who live the way I did in order to survive. Like me, they did not ask for the wars that swallowed them. They ask only for peace, the freedom to love and live a full life, and nothing more.
Tấm gương chị Lý ngàn thu.
What's so special about Lê Lý is that she is one of the most unselfish and one of the most committed people I know in her willingness to turn her experience into something that can help other people. An experience many, many years ago that was dangerous, threatening, uncertain. She's managed to turn that experience into something of value for people in Vietnam today, other survivors of the war who still have very significant needs. And she also has helped the younger generation to understand the impact of the war on their parents and their aunts and uncles and their families.
The special gift of suffering I have learned is how to be strong where we are weak, how to be brave when we are afraid, how to be wise in the midst of confusion, and how to let go of that which we can no longer hold. In this way, anger can teach us forgiveness.
hate can teach us love, and war can teach us peace. To me, it doesn't matter which country. It matters how the people live in peace and harmony with the land, and take care of their ancestors, raise their families. And it's no more killing, it's no more bombing, no more suffering of humankind.
As my father once told me, don't wonder about right and wrong. Those are weapons as deadly as bombs and bullets. Right is the goodness you carry in your heart. Love for your ancestors and your family and everything that lives. Wrong is anything that comes between you and that love.
It's a sad thing that I'm not the only one. And more sadness is what's going on now around the world. It's just like what happened to me 50 years ago here in Vietnam. And mankind had not learned the lesson. Their skin may be different, black, white, yellow, and red, but the tear is salty, all the same.
Heaven and Earth, Layli Hayslip, was produced by Eve Streeter. It was a peer production for the BBC World Service.